Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 91 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. How are you doing today, Tony?
I am well.
I am exceptionally well because for the first time in a long time, we have an actually beautiful, gorgeous day in Chicago. This is possibly the nicest summer day we've had all summer.
Yes.
It's not humid. It's cool. But it's warm.
It's nice.
It's gorgeous outside. Just had some tasty Mexican food.
I hope
food
we don't
for
have
lunch.
Any listeners who are in Texas. Have you heard in Texas it's been over 100 degrees?
Yeah, Stritch sent us a message about that.
For over 39 days in a row so far, over 100 degrees.
That's crazy talk.
So we really aren't in any place to complain.
No, not at all. And I feel badly for our friends in Texas who are going through that. And I hope you all have air conditioning.
Except for George Bush.
Is he in Texas right now?
I would imagine.
Oh, I don't know. I don't follow the man. I didn't know you followed him on Twitter.
I don't.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just saying. Any other political comments you want to make before
no,
we get on with the show?
I'll leave it at that.
Right, see,
I think all could be said with that one statement.
This episode is brought to us by Yumbly. Search restaurants and menus to find exactly what you're hungry for. Yum.
I'm hungry.
Thank you.
I'll remember
you for the voiceover when we start doing commercials. Do we have any listener mail or anything
like
that?
We do. Mike would like to know what our thoughts on the conclusion of Falling Skies are.
I don't have any since I haven't watched it yet. I haven't had time.
Why are we even doing this podcast?
I haven't had time.
You haven't?
Sorry. Haven't had time
to
watch
it. I'm
going to
ruin it.
You better not.
I'm going to.
You better not. By the way, Coco, you didn't even comment on my French from the last episode.
Yeah.
Was it all right? Did it offend? Have you stopped listening because of it? I hope not.
Mike also says that he thought the series was okay. He kept comparing it to The Walking Dead, which is so much better. For some reason, he did not find himself caring about the characters all that much.
Well, I'm going to have to mostly agree with that.
So are you just one episode behind
just
or two?
Just one.
So you watched the first part but not the second part?
Oh, no. We didn't see anything on Sunday.
Oh, there were two
two-parter?
Episodes on
okay.
Sunday. Yeah.
No, we didn't see
I mean, it's two episodes, but they called it the conclusion.
Right.
But it really was two episodes.
Okay.
Let me just say, my complaints about dialogue and just ridiculousness of the dialogue hit an all-time peak in those two episodes. Absolutely
You got to start giving me specifics. Because I don't
well,
remember.
Well, I would like to right now, but you did not see it.
Well, can't you give me a specific that's not going to give away the plot?
Yes, there is a big exchange, ongoing exchange between Pope, he's the rebel guy,
right,
and the youngest son.
Okay.
That is absolutely...
Wait, the little tiny one?
Yes.
Like that 8-year-old's dialogue is always atrocious.
That 8-year-old shouldn't even be on there.
Yeah.
I mean, his character is unnecessary.
And this is from Sunday, or this is from the
Sunday.
Previous episode?
From Sunday.
Okay.
It's so terrible. Oh, my God. The dialogue the
previous
on the show
episode,
is so
The previous
terrible.
Episode where Pope is explaining about the mech bullets, and the little kid's like, I wish we could use these against them. And he's like, from the mouths of babes. You know what I mean? I'm like, that was really bad.
Yeah. Oh, wait. We'll talk about it after you've seen it.
Wow. Did they become best friends?
I won't say
the renegade with the heart of gold and the 8-year-old kid.
You had posted something about the return of Fringe.
Yes.
And Steve, who I haven't heard from in a long time.
Yeah, what's up, Steve?
Steve commented he heard it didn't do so well last season. So.
Well, again, I'd like you to check your sources.
There's Steve writing on your brain.
Because it's coming back. Well, it's coming, but we already know it's coming back. Yeah. So there's no question of
that. You know, I didn't put it in the mashup because I didn't know if I thought I had reported on this before, but I just read something new about Nikita coming back. Was that ever in limbo or on the balance?
I don't really know.
But it is coming back.
Oh, okay.
So, are you still watching that? Or were you still watching that?
We watched it, you know, on and off when we had time and nothing else was on.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Amy likes it more than I do.
Right.
I really do not like the guy. I can't remember his name.
Shane West.
Yeah, Shane West. Yeah. I've seen him in things where I thought he was okay. I don't like him in this show. You know, it's unlike comparing...
I don't like when you hand me a outline that is missing a page.
Is it really?
Yep.
What page?
The front page.
What? Oh, sorry. Here you go.
How am I supposed to do my work here?
same way you always do by surfing the internet while I'm talking. You know, unlike comparing... Unlike comparing Falling Skies to The Walking Dead, because they're completely different stories,
and
it's a little
completely
difficult,
different levels of quality.
It's a little difficult to not compare Nikita with La Femme Nikita, you know, the original series.
Yeah, because those
it's the same story,
right?
Essentially.
And the Elton John song.
But no, I didn't ever compare it to that. But and the original series, I loved the original series so much. There was just such a like a quiet simplicity to everything about it, and everything was very underdone on that show in terms of the dialogue and character interaction and everything. That it's really hard sometimes for me to accept Shane West as Michael, since I really liked Michael in the original series.
Mm-hmm.
I like the guy who played him. I like the way he played him. And just his interaction
you
with
like
Nikita.
You like to smell?
No, not really. I don't have that kind of TV. But
it's coming.
I'm sure it is.
It is coming.
Well, you know, they used to do smell-o-vision in movie theaters.
Well, you know, this Spy Kids 4D.
Right. Is going to have
smells.
The fourth dimension is
smell.
The dimension inside your nose, apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
What was Jessica Alba thinking when she signed on to that? And you know the only reason Joel McHale signed on was to play Jessica Alba's wife, or husband.
Yeah, or wife. Either way.
Whatever.
It's Jessica Alba. You play whatever you want, whatever they ask you to play, if you're Joel McHale. Is he married?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
With kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Spy Kids?
that's a good question. Perhaps that's the reason why he took the role.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, like I said, Amy's a bigger fan than I am. It's fine.
What are we even talking about anymore?
Nikita.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you want to start talking about video games?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
I've been playing. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to talk briefly about it. I tried Test Drive Unlimited 2.
Okay.
For those not familiar with Test Drive Unlimited, it's kind of open world driving game that when you're online, you can race other, like you see the other people that are playing also, and you can see them, and much like Burnout.
But you're not really playing. Oh, you can race them, but yeah. You don't have to?
You don't have to, no.
Oh, but you can still see him even if you're not playing against him?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Burnout didn't do that? No, I guess it didn't.
No.
No.
You had to
start. No, this you can.
Yeah.
You can see them.
Yeah.
But the story's so stupid, and it's just terrible. You play, like, at the very beginning. First of all, the graphics aren't great. So it looks like something that would have been on, like, the original Xbox.
Okay.
And I'm playing
if it had been designed in 1975.
Right.
Yeah.
But you play this valet who is suddenly like recruited to race in this big race, and you end up winning that big race. So
okay.
Now you like start to amass cars and go to driving schools and pass these tests to like drive in all these challenges and just
sounds
like,
really convoluted for the sake of driving
so
a bunch of different cars.
It's so ridiculous. Anyway, I like a good driving game. This is not that good driving game.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So. Did you buy it or was this a demo?
GameFly.
Oh, okay. All right.
And
so you're safe.
Yes. In fact, I need to send that back.
So there you go.
I also played a game that came out last week on Xbox Live Arcade called Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
Okay.
Lots and lots of fun.
Really? What kind of game?
It's very similar. It's a shooter, like a side-scrolling shooter.
Okay. Like your basic R-type?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would compare this to Pixel Junk Shooter, which I've talked about before.
Yep.
But this is really cool in that it's a really crazy, like the
twisted
style
world.
Is great. It really is. Yeah. And the style is really cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of Tim Burton-esque.
Oh, okay.
And you start to collect these tools and weapons,
yeah.
And then the enemies that you come across or the challenges or obstacles, because it's not always enemies. You maybe have to do something to get to this other part of
the
area.
It's a little puzzle-solving navigation
right.
kind of stuff.
But certain tools or weapons, like certain enemies you can only destroy with certain tools or enemies.
I got
or weapons. It's very confusing. Very hard to describe.
Excuse me.
But
hopefully the publisher doesn't have as much trouble describing this game to potential customers.
It's a lot of fun.
That's all really
that's
anyone needs to know.
That's the worst review ever.
Yeah, exactly. No. It was lovely. No, it sounds pretty cool. I love those kind of games.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would probably enjoy it. What system was that on?
Xbox.
Xbox, okay.
Live Arcade.
Gotcha.
It's $15.
So I, last night, started playing a game that I can't really talk about.
You could say you're playing it.
Right, though, right. I started playing the beta of Star Wars The Old Republic, the new Star Wars MMO. And, you know, like I said, I've been sworn to secrecy. But I will say that what I played so far, I actually enjoyed quite a bit. I found myself, when I woke up this morning, wondering if I had enough time to, you know, play a little bit before I got ready for work. So that's always a good sign. There are a lot of things about it that I think they have done well. There are definitely some things that need a little bit of work. But I will say that the game looks pretty good. Hasn't crashed on me at all yet. And I'm kind of engaged in the story of my, you know, like my starting story for my character. So, you know, very much looking forward to getting back in there and seeing what else is there. I don't know really anything about it. Like, I don't know, you know, like I'm on a particular planet right now. I don't know if I get to leave that planet and go to other planets. I don't know what the deal is. And I've only started one. I would assume so, too. But and I've only started one character, so I don't know how different the starting worlds are and all that kind of stuff. But so far, it's all right. You know, I think it has a good chance of doing pretty well. You know, we'll see.
So far,
we'll
it's not Bantha Poodoo.
It is not Bantha Poodoo at all. So I would not give it an F, which is good. That's all I got. I haven't played anything else.
Yeah, and you know, I don't have a lot of video game news either. But you know, we're heavy on the TV and movie news, so.
Yeah. So. And I got a lot of stuff in the mashup, so
don't.
Fine.
Yeah, don't feel sad. Don't feel sad about
no.
the...
Don't. There's plenty more where this came from.
Yeah. Just up ahead.
Yeah.
Great news came from the people at Gearbox this week. There will be a new Borderlands game next year. Borderlands 2 will feature four new characters, and the weapons will be very customizable this time around. I'm very excited about this. Very.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Gamefly is adding a pretty cool feature to its subscription service this holiday. Unlimited PC play will allow subscribers to download and play any of the offered PC or Mac games. There will be over 100 games available at launch, and as of now, there are no plans for a PC-only subscription. So it will only be available to people who are already... Not already. I mean, you could sign up then, but like you have to be doing the console.
And then you can add this on?
Yes.
Or it's part of it
I think
free.
It's part of it.
For no extra cost?
Well, they'd probably charge extra, I would imagine.
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, but I don't really understand their... decision to do that, like what if
and not make it like an option on its own,
right?
I don't understand either.
Yeah, that's I don't get it. But
I'm sure that'll
that's
change.
Fine. Well, I'm sure we'll get more details as it gets closer to time.
I mean, from what I read in the article, they had acquired Gamefly had bought Direct to Drive.
Okay,
you're familiar with Direct to Drive,
yes?
Yeah. So,
it probably has something to do with that.
Yeah. And yeah.
So probably they will do a PC-only thing in the future, I would guess.
But at the time,
whatever happened to that OnLive?
Yeah, I still read about it every once in a while. Yeah.
Are people using it?
It exists.
It's going. People use it.
I've never really read anything bad about it.
Does anyone use it? Any of our listeners use OnLive? Let us know what you think.
Yeah,
of it.
But you know they're getting it to a point where you can have it on tablets.
Yeah,
that'll be really cool.
Yeah,
I would check
the games work.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here's the true sign of economic unrest.
Because you know the controller situation on the tablet sucks.
Well, you'd have to buy a controller.
That's what I mean. You'd be better off buying a console, though.
Hook up to your tablet?
Well, I'm just saying, no, because a console is like half the price of an iPad and already has controllers, and it's not like you're going to carry around your tablet and your controllers, really.
Why not?
I don't know. It just seems dumb.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure it'd be a little like a... Yeah. PS3 controller.
Do they have those already?
Yeah, they have the OnLive controllers where that's the...
But there's also a box, right?
It's minimal.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, are there game controllers already for the iPad?
I believe maybe so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Finally, here's the true sign of economic unrest. The number of World of Warcraft subscribers has fallen from 12 million to 11 million since the release of Cataclysm.
Oh my gosh, I feel so bad for them.
So they're only getting $14 times 11 million a month.
Right. $14.99.
Ugh.
$15. $165 million a month that game brings in.
It's very good math on the fly.
Thank you. Is that it for games?
That's it.
Wow, quiet week. But I mean, there's all this. There was PAX. There was Gamescom in Germany. I mean, what's going on? Where's all the news?
Are you questioning my news gathering abilities?
A little bit, I think. Yeah. You were hoping I'd say no, but I said yes.
I knew you'd say yes. Hateful bastard.
But that's all you got, huh?
That's all I got.
All right.
But we have a lot ahead of us here.
There's a lot more where this came from.
I had to shave a little of this just to fit all the rest of it.
Really? Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV. What have you been watching?
Well, we can't talk about Falling Skies because you suck. We can't talk about MasterChef because you suck.
No, you can talk about MasterChef. I don't care.
Yeah?
You're not going to ruin anything for me.
MasterChef, my favorite show on TV right
How
now.
How many people are they down to? Three? Four?
Four.
Yeah. Top four?
Top four.
Yeah. And who's in it still? Who's in it to win it?
Christian.
Yep.
Susie.
Ding.
Jennifer.
Ding.
And Adrian.
Ding. Susie's from Chicago, right?
Yes. Okay. I like Susie because she says little, like, she never has anything positive to say. So, like, she seems really, like, quiet and, like, tries to get along.
Is she negative, Nancy?
Totally. But then when she's just on camera by herself, all she does is rip. But it's funny. It's funny.
Yeah. I assume you mean on the other contestants.
Yes.
And not.
Boot.
Exactly. Welcome back to third grade class. Recess is now over.
It was really sad when Ben was eliminated in the last episode.
Ben
is the real exuberant guy.
Blink, blink. I would need to see a picture. Can you pull up the contestant?
Ben Starr is his name.
Ben Starr?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that his real name?
He's really nice. He never says a bad word. You know, he's always rooting other people on.
Oh, the little guy.
I don't know that he's little.
Well, he seemed little.
It's not very nice.
Why? I'm not talking about his junk.
I hope not. Wow, I Googled Ben Starr and there's no...
No, just bring up the contestant thing because I got to see what all these people look like.
It's much harder to find.
It's not harder. You do MasterChef contestants and you'll get right there, I'm sure. It's very easy to do.
The U.S. one, right?
Yeah, as long as we're still talking about that, that's probably my preference, sure. Bring you right to a nice page. It'll show you a little eliminated banner over each person. I know because
I've been there. It just lists them. It doesn't show a picture.
Oh,
well,
no.
I'm not on the right. You know what? Let's just, you know, we'll come back to it.
Does that iPad even work?
Yeah, it's the person controlling it that's having the issue.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so Ben's gone.
Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah. Was he your favorite or something?
No, but he was really nice and kind of like, he was the glue that held everything together.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure for the little guy.
Yeah. You know what? A cool challenge they had yesterday. They had three of Gordon Ramsay's signature dishes, and Ben had won the mystery box challenge, so he got to pick which dish they were all going to have to recreate just by tasting it.
Mm-hmm.
And the three dishes that they showed of Gordon Ramsay's, they all sounded amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you never, you know, you always see Gordon Ramsay spouting off, but you never really got an idea of, you know.
Yeah, what is this
what
guy
he was
actually
like
cook?
As a chef, yeah.
Is he just flipping burgers? I mean, what's going on?
Right.
Yeah.
Because even when he's doing, like, Kitchen Nightmares, he'll go in and reconcept a place, and it usually seems like he goes a little more pedestrian than...
No, well, not only that, but, well, I think he probably tries to match it to the locale.
Right.
And
the ability of the...
Well, but what I was just going to say is a lot of times it seems like he brings in a chef to help them with that if he doesn't think their chef is up to snuff.
So he's not even doing it
himself. So he's not even doing it.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you never really get to see much of what he does.
No.
Well, what were they? Do you remember what the one was that he...
One of them was... Well, I remember the one they did. It was a venison loin.
Ooh, I love venison.
Served over...
polenta?
Portobello mushroom and braised cabbage with parsnip puree.
Huh. Sounds like there's a lot of bitter in there.
Well, the richness of the venison, you have that. Oh, and then the sauce.
Yeah.
It was like some kind of...
Saucy sauce.
Saucy sauce.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I've had that before. It's good.
But
I'm sorry. I was thinking of horsey sauce at Arby's. That's not the same as saucy sauce.
Gordon Ramsay would be proud of you.
I'm sure he would.
Anyway, MasterChef, lots of fun. So...
Take the money and run.
Yes, let's talk about
it. Let's talk about
it. You watched the first episode,
right? I did, yeah. Did I miss the second episode?
It was on last night. I have not seen it.
I think I said it's
I
record.
Have not seen it.
Okay, so I'm still working on my plans because we're going to do this.
Okay.
And did you get my message about it? Don't repeat what I said in my message, but.
No.
Did you get my message about it?
What kind of message was it?
It had to do with my plans.
I know. In what form was the message?
A text message.
No.
Yeah. It was either a text message or a brief, or
I don't really listen to the voicemails.
No, it wasn't a voicemail. Okay. It was a text message or an email. You don't really respond to any of the messages, so it's kind of potluck, hit or miss anyway. But
I don't have any text message regarding.
You got nothing?
No.
Maybe it was an email. I don't remember. But anyway, we'll talk about that off the air.
Okay.
First of all, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, it is enjoyable.
And I like the fact that somebody wins on every episode. Either the people hiding the money or the people finding the money. Somebody always wins, which is really cool because somebody's always getting $100,000.
We could talk about the first episode because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you brought up a good point, which is do the... Is it only the detectives that get to share the money, or do the interrogators get some too?
Because they do all the work.
They seem like they're doing a lot
but
of the work.
But they seem, you know, I noticed in the previews for some of the other upcoming episodes that obviously whatever city they're in, the detectives are different, but the interrogators are always the same.
That really?
So they must work for the show.
Okay.
So that must be why they aren't in on the money.
Because
the detectives are
getting paid.
Obviously, you know. Detectives in San Francisco aren't going to be the detectives. You want to pick detectives that know the city they're working in.
Right. You don't want to bring in some guy who doesn't know how to get from point A to point B.
So there's really, if you look at it, two sets of contestants.
Right. So now the brother, the heavier brother, the one with the mustache and beard, he lives in San Francisco, right? And the other brother used to live there but lives somewhere else now but just comes back to visit sometimes.
I thought they both lived there.
I don't think so, because somebody asked him at some point during the show how often he makes it back to San Francisco.
Okay, so
it's really hard for me anyway to understand how much of the show is what are we really seeing that's really going on and what are we not seeing, because there's some stuff I just don't get. Even though I enjoyed it, some stuff I just don't get. The first and biggest thing that I don't get is why would you ever crack under the pressure of the investigators, since there's no threat ever.
Right.
The
only you haven't done anything wrong. And no matter what happens, you will be let go.
Right.
So
within 48 hours.
Right. So why would you crack?
Why would you crack?
Oh my God.
That's something that I don't get.
Unless when the cameras are off, they just belittled him to no end.
But even the detective, when they first picked him up, you know, quote unquote, and arrested them, quote unquote, even the detective was like, all right, let the games begin. You know, so it's not like they're pretending that it's really, a crime. But I just don't understand why the brother cracked. And he just, like, gave it up so easily.
I don't understand.
At
the very end, when they showed the other brother who didn't crack, you know, hey, we found it because your brother cracked. Why wasn't that brother mad? He's like, oh, well, I'm really proud of him that he, you know.
They lasted out as long as he did because my brother's such a loser that,
exactly.
I mean, he didn't say that, but he might as well have, because you
can
tell that's what's going on in his head.
I would be so pissed at him.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have a plan. Now all we got to do is get on the show.
Okay.
Trust me, it's a really good plan. I got it all worked out. There's no way they're ever going to find it.
That's good.
Yeah. I got it all worked out. I just hope they don't make us do it in a city other than Chicago, because then we're screwed. The plan doesn't work if we're not.
Well, no,
Chicago.
I mean, that wouldn't work just because
you can't expect people
the city.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I liked it. It was entertaining. I look forward to future episodes.
How could you ever do this show in, like, New York or L.A.? Because you could never get anywhere because of the traffic. I mean, even Chicago, it's like an hour. That's not very long.
Right.
I mean, you really can't go that far in an hour, you know? So, but, yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
And we'll talk about more of that in the future.
Yep.
So I watched a show, a new like reality game type show.
Okay.
Hosted by Cedric the Entertainer, which is an ironic name
because
he is rarely entertaining.
Exactly.
Called It's Worth What?
His hair is...
Oh, he's wearing a hat. Or at least in the episode that I saw, he's wearing a hat.
I thought he died.
No, that's Bernie Mac.
Oh, sorry.
I've made the same mistake.
Bernie Mac was actually funny, though.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, he was actually very funny.
You're right. This is a show where they bring out things and...
What about Martin Lawrence? Is he dead yet?
No.
Damn.
It's just a matter of time, though. this is a show where they bring out items, some of them like rare antiques, some of them like movie props, some of them like expensive like sports cars and that. They bring them out, and you have to guess... There's different games. It's kind of like Price is Right, but for like rich, expensive things.
Okay.
Or antique things. It's mixing like Antique Roadshow and Price is Right. Let's say that. But what's the most annoying thing about this show?
Other than me singing the song.
That would be the most annoying thing about this show. But the most annoying thing about that show is anytime Cedric the Entertainer says it's worth what, which by the way is like 20 times an episode.
Does he go, it's worth what?
Yes,
no,
exactly.
No.
And the whole audience says it with him.
No.
It makes the show, that alone makes the show unwatchable.
Oh no.
Because it's kind of cool when they bring this stuff out. Like, they brought out a pair of shoes that Sandra Bullock wore in The Blind Side versus this pair of Stuart Weitzman shoes that had, like, Swarovski crystals all over them.
Yeah.
And they had to guess which shoes were worth more. And so they picked the Sandra Bullock Blind Side shoes. And then they have an expert there who tells why it wasn't worth as much as they thought it was.
Right.
And it's because, you know, she wore, like, 30 different pairs of shoes in that movie, so this one pair isn't really going to be worth that much, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So that whole part of it is cool. There was another part that was cool where they had three different houses in New York, and one of them was priced at $1.15 million. One of them was above and one was below, and you had to put the houses in the categories that they go. So that kind of stuff is fun and cool to me. But the it's worth what?
Like, oh, my God.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
And him trying to make jokes in between that were never funny.
Now, what do they win? What do they have the potential to win?
Money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at the very end, they bring out four items, and then Cedric brings out four other items, and you have to take from the first group, you have to take an item and
play, match it
with another one.
In the other
each
group.
One being more than the other one.
The previous one, right.
So then you decide how much you want to bet with what you've banked already.
Oh,
so if you
okay.
get the... If you get one right, you get to keep your money. If you decide to risk and go on, then it's like twice the money, and then it could go up to 10 times the money.
Wow, that's pretty
cool. If you're positive about it. Yeah, but some of them are really like, they had this
really close
13-inch Betty Boop figurine from like 1920s or something that like, you know, that could be worth, you know,
nothing.
$30 or $30,000.
Right, exactly.
You know,
that's tricky.
You know, an outfit that.
But if you don't get any right, do you lose all your money at the end?
Yeah, but it would be really easy to I mean, because you could just
pick the most obvious car. Okay, right.
And for example, they had this like 1950 something like Ford Fairlane versus a DeLorean. Which one do you think would be?
I think the Fairlane would be worth more.
Way more. It was like 10 times more.
Yeah, because the DeLorean.
It said DeLorean was only worth $20,000.
Yeah, there you can buy them on eBay for not that much.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, but you know what is cool about the DeLorean? It is perfectly suited for time travel. You know, you brought up the thing about the shoes with the Swarovski crystals on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all know that the whole diamond industry is kind of a farce. Like, the value of diamonds is only the value of diamonds because De Beers...
People say so.
De Beers made it that way through all their marketing and advertising. Like, diamonds were not considered to be a precious, you know, stone before they kind of got in that business.
And then there's the whole blood diamonds.
We don't even want to talk about that. But, man... You think they did a good job? What about Swarovski? They're selling crap. It's nothing. It's garbage.
It's glass.
It's junk.
You're turning into Jerry Seinfeld.
I'm telling you.
They're selling glass.
It's junk. Why, did he do a bit about that?
No.
Oh, okay.
You just became Jerry Seinfeld in your little rant there.
It's ridiculous. And people are always, Swarovski. It's junk. Why are you paying all that money? It's worthless. It's worthless junk.
Well, it's worth something in that they've made it worth something.
That's what I mean. It's only worth something because they told you, you know, this is worth a lot of money.
Right.
Really? How much can I give you for it? Okay, whatever.
It's worth what? You have to watch an episode of this.
When is it? When and where is it on?
It was on last night, so it's on Tuesday nights.
Yep.
Probably 7 o'clock.
But what channel?
ABC, maybe?
Oh, one of the three, a real network?
One of the three majors, yeah.
Wow. It's not like on... some obscure channel.
Sadly, no.
It's not on New Nick at Night for noobs or nothing like that. Wow. It's worth what?
It's so ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Come on. Talk about pandering.
Yeah, let's move on. We've talked about that too long. True Blood. I know you're not watching True Blood.
Nope.
Ugh, True Blood has gotten so good in this last episode.
Wait a minute. How many episodes have there been so far?
Six.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Five.
We're behind, huh?
Yeah. You didn't even see last season.
No, not yet.
You're not even going to know half the people on this season.
We're thinking about it real hard.
But you're not even going to know half the people on this season.
Well, we're not watching it, so what difference does it make?
There's new kinds of creatures.
Really?
Old kinds of creatures.
Oh, that's right, because I remember you talked about her being mad that she had to deal with witches or something.
Yeah, but now there's also fairies and werepanthers and necromancers and...
She's going to bite my tongue and not make
it. Now the shapeshifter... Now, if you're a shapeshifter and you kill... someone in your family, someone in your bloodline, then you can also become, you can turn into different people.
Wait. Oh,
instead of animals?
Just animals.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a neat feature
of
that genetic mutation. Is there an explanation for any of this, or is it just all these things exist?
Yeah. Okay. In fact, now it's gotten to a point where a few of the, like, human characters that were left, now you find out that they are things. So it's
is there
get
such
to a, point,
a thing as a human being?
Right, there will not be at some point.
Seriously? Are they going
well,
that
because
route?
Really, the only one that's still not something is Tara and, like, one of the waitresses.
What about Sookie's brother?
Oh, right. He's still human. Okay. They tried to turn him into a werepanther, but it didn't work.
You mean by biting him or something?
Right. But then they found out it's genetic.
Why is it always like a werewolf, a werepanther? There's never like a were-turtle. You know,
well,
never
they would die out quickly.
A werefish.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't happen. Why? Why is that?
And I love that they're called werepanthers on the show.
A were-hummingbird. It doesn't have a were-butterfly.
Boy, that would suck.
Were-crickets. You'd be screwed. You can't even see him coming.
I have to say, the acting,
yeah.
The guy who plays Eric, yeah. Alexander Sarsgaard,
yeah.
Is that his name? He's great, because now the necromancer, like, erased his mind, and so he doesn't remember.
Stellan Skarsgård's son,
yes.
As we reported
previously.
He
can't remember all the bad things he did before.
Okay.
So now he's really, really nice, and now him and Sookie are together. Now they're a couple.
Sookie.
And I have to say, he's a great actor, and especially when I saw
him.
So
he's True Blood's David Canary, is what you're telling me.
I don't know what that means.
It's from an actor from All My Children, who plays both a good and a bad brother. You know, good and bad twin brothers.
So any of you 50-year-old women listening to this podcast will get that reference.
Apparently none of them are listening anymore, which is why they've all been canceled.
But I saw him on a talk show last week, and he is the most awkward interview. He's very shy, and, like, they'd ask him a question, and he'd be like, he couldn't even answer the question. And you know they do a pre-interview?
Well, he's a damn Ferner. They can't keep stuff.
But the one thing that was funny, they asked him, they're like, so is it uncomfortable for you to be naked as much as you are on the show? And his answer was, I'm Swedish.
What does that mean?
Apparently they are
they
naked
just all
the time.
Around naked? Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that. This show must not be going well. I just saw Kelsey put her headphones on.
This show we're doing right here?
Yeah.
That's it. We're done. Good night, folks.
Just kidding. She's probably trying to work. All right, anything else that you've watched? So we have still been watching the Smallville, which is, man, I'll tell you, they do a good job with the cliffhangers at the ends of the seasons on that show. Big cliffhanger at the end of season 3. And, you know, it keeps getting changed up. Like, now we're in season 4. His best friend is gone, moved away. Lana went off to Paris, met somebody played by Jensen Ackles. Okay, this is creepy. So she goes off to Paris, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while she's there, she meets Jensen Ackles' character.
I don't know who that is.
Jensen Ackles is from Supernatural. He's one of the two brothers.
Okay.
So she meets a character played by him. And, you know, they're, like, dating. And so something happens to her while she's there.
Are they going to the prom? Because, you know, prom plays really big in the CW shows.
There's no prom in Paris.
It's coming.
There's no prom in Paris. But anyway, so something happens to her while she's there.
I believe proms were invented in Paris.
And she comes back to Smallville. And all of a sudden he shows up there like, hey, why'd you disappear? And so they're still dating. And now he's a coach at the high school. So they have Lana, who's still in high school.
Dating a coach.
Dating a guy who's old enough to be a coach at the high school.
Inappropriate.
Does that not say skeevy to you?
Inappropriate.
Skeevy, right? It's skeevy. Well, it's kind of weird. Like, I'm really
surprised.
That's
one of those things where out loud we say skeevy, but in our heads we're going, cool.
No. No, this is not cool. And what's really weird is, like, all of a sudden season 4 is, like, all sexed up. Like, Lana's always been
CW.
Very demure. And now all of a sudden she's, like, hooched out. She's showing her midriff a lot. She's got a tat, although it's an alien tat. It's a mystery. Nobody knows what's going on. but I mean, there's, like, all this craziness going on. And now we
what
just...
What grade are they supposed to be in?
We just... I don't know.
Senior?
I would assume.
She's senior because you know the prom's coming.
Okay. But and so now
we
just...
I can't wait till you get to the prom episode.
Now we just met Lois Lane. She's on the show now. And it was a little awkward when Lois Lane... introduce herself to Lana Lang.
And then all of a sudden there's Linda Lavin.
What's she doing there? What? Where'd she even come from? Because that. And what was cool was you. Okay, remember I told you before that Christopher Reeves plays the scientist?
Yes.
So his, like, assistant slash partner slash romantic
Brandon Routh.
Interest?
Brandon Routh.
No. Margot Kidder. Awesome casting. That was really cool. That was actually really cool.
That's jumping the shark.
She looked kind of clownish, though, I have to say. It wasn't not in a good kind of Ronald McDonald way, but like, here's a burger.
More in like a why so serious way.
Exactly. Yeah, not good. So enjoying that. And then did you see, you know, this may be more than older than when we did the last episode, but I don't think we talked about it.
Spit it out.
Did you see Selling LA, which is like the LA version of Selling New York?
No.
It was actually really cool because, you know, the houses in LA are ridiculously extravagant. Mm-hmm. And so there were some really cool properties shown on there. But if you thought the people on Selling New York were annoying, oh dear Lord. Just crazy folk up the wazoo. Just ridiculous. But still, it was kind of cool. And then, what else?
See, the
Storage Wars, still enjoying that. It's been very funny this season.
If you put the shows you've actually watched on the outline, it makes it easier to remember them.
Yeah, I know. I forgot to fill that in. Yep. I'm trying to think of what else we've seen. I don't know. We actually watched a little bit of Design Star. But, you know, once that dude gets on there, I can't watch anymore.
Bernie Yip?
No, not Bernie Yip.
David Bromfield?
Yes. He should not be allowed to be on television.
He's very popular, actually.
What?
He's very popular.
I'm sure he is. But first of all, his head is completely the wrong shape. Okay. Nobody should have a head that is that has that kind of geometry. Second of all, he is just a terrible host. Remember, we talked about this before when he hosted that Disney Christmas thing. I mean, the guy like talks over everyone. He's not a good host. But some of what we saw in there, some of the stuff the designers did was kind of cool. Kind of enjoyed it. But yeah, I don't like me, no David Bromfield.
I'm going to say that to you every time you talk over me. I'm going to say you're a terrible host. Okay. I got to write that down. That's a good thing.
Okay.
That's a good bit to add.
Knock yourself out.
To add.
A good bit to add.
Right.
When are we doing the clown thing again?
What?
With the voices and the puppets? We're not doing that? Did we cancel that idea?
It's on the back burner now.
Okay. I'll have to keep that in mind.
I'm not saying no, but.
Good. How can you say no to clowns and puppets? I think that's all that we've watched. I haven't really had a chance
If you had written it down, you'd know.
Yeah, I know. I didn't write it down, though.
Yeah, I see that.
I didn't write anything down.
You ready for some miscellaneous?
Is anything else new, really? When does Top Chef start? Not for a while, right?
I've got some Top Chef news. They're about to start Desserts.
Oh, Desserts. That's what it was. You know, I like that one because it's got the Gail Simmons on it. You don't have to deal with no Kelly Choi.
Right.
But she's gone anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So anyway.
Ready for some miscellaneous?
Yeah.
Okay. CBS is currently working on a Bewitched remake.
Why do they keep doing this?
And NBC is bringing a Frankenstein series to the small screen.
Well, I mean, there's never really been a Frankenstein series, so
right.
At least that's, but I mean, that sounds like a terrible idea. Well, where can you go with that?
Frankenstein?
Yeah. Where do you go with that?
I wonder if it's going to be serious or not serious.
Set in modern day.
Well, it would just be a remake of the Munsters if it were not serious, wouldn't it?
Yeah. He's just like a kid at school. It'll just be like Smallville, but he's just like going to high school. People like tiptoe around the fact that he's Frankenstein. They try not to mention it in front of him. You know.
I don't know. The Bewitched remake could work.
Didn't they already do that with...
Well, they made a movie.
No, but then they had that Teen Witch show.
Sabrina.
Or Sabrina.
I think that's different, though.
But it's the same concept, ultimately. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, and they did that movie. Todd Stashwick was in that movie, by the way.
Was he?
Yeah. A small part.
ABC has announced that the next season of Desperate Housewives will be its last, which begs the question.
I cannot believe that show is still on.
Well, did you read the question?
No.
Why is that show still on?
Yeah, who's even watching that show?
I know.
I mean, I watched the first episode of season two and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
It was because the first season was funny and kind of quirky enough to be interesting. And then it just got stupid after that. I can't believe that show is still on. How long has it been on?
8 years, I want to say.
God, that's crazy talk.
This will be its 8th year, I believe.
Yeah.
Chuck is casting a slew of fanboy favorites for its final season. In addition to Mark Hamill, which we reported last episode, Lost's Jeff Fahey and Smallville's Justin Hartley will also appear.
I don't know who Justin Hartley is.
He is on Smallville.
Well, he must not be on yet in season 4. Because
Do you look at the cast names of every episode you watch?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
Yeah, of course.
That's just weird.
Well, first of all, if he was a regular... You know, usually when you
say... enough that they say he's from Lost. Okay, I just...
Well, I know who Jeff Fahey is.
Every picture is him with no shirt on.
I know who Jeff Fahey is because he was a regular on Lost. And because he was in Lawnmower Man. Nope, haven't seen him yet.
Isn't he the guy? No, I never watched Smallville, but I remember seeing pictures like when other heroes. Didn't he play like Green Arrow or something?
Oh, maybe. We
or
haven't,
Aquaman. Maybe?
We haven't met any other superhero people yet.
Aquaman. He played Aquaman.
So there you go. Thanks for ruining the entire 10-year series for me. Didn't even know there was an Aquaman on there.
Oh, there will be.
Thanks, apparently.
Where was I? Top Chef's next season will take place in Texas, and Emeril Lagasse will be a permanent judge.
What?
Yep.
Replacing whom?
I don't know.
But this is a big deal. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Is Tom Colicchio not going to be on?
I don't know who he's replacing. Maybe he will be an added judge.
So it'll be Tom and Emeril and Padma and then just whoever.
So maybe he's taking Gail's place. Wasn't Gail a judge?
No, not on every episode.
Oh.
She was just there sometimes.
I don't know.
Huh. That's weird.
House star Hugh Laurie recently stated in an interview that he may quit acting to pursue a musical career. He has just finished recording a jazz and blues album.
So there you go.
Is that show still on?
Yes, it is. It's a really good show.
And finally.
We don't have time for it, but it's really good.
Yeah. We don't have time to talk about it here either. Glee creator Ryan Murphy has revealed that a spinoff series will be announced halfway through this next season. Which,
gee, I wonder.
You knew it was coming because some of them are graduating this next season.
Right. But don't you think it's going to be, what's her name? Sue?
No.
Show about Sue.
They won't have Sue leave the high school. It'll be like probably Lea Michele's character.
Really?
I think so. Because she graduates this season.
Oh. You know, we're behind.
Yeah, like 2 years.
No, just one. They've only had 2 seasons, right?
Yes, this will be the third. Yeah. But, you know, they break up those seasons.
Right. So well, they're all broken up. Yeah. All TV series in the fall are broken up, right?
Not as much as they are. They do a good, like, 6 weeks in between.
I thought they were all like that.
But
they usually stop not around Thanksgiving and they come back after New Year's.
Not 6 weeks, no.
All right. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, no, look how many episodes of Glee there are as opposed to how many episodes, like,
that doesn't mean anything. That it could end later.
Whatever.
I'm just saying. I think they pretty much all break for like 6 weeks.
I don't think it's that long.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Yes. Okay. That's all I have, by the way.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
So we're done with TV?
Yes.
All right.
I got a lot of movies.
We're going to take a quick break.
We got a lot of movies.
When we come back, we're going to talk about all the movie stuff that we got.
And the three movies that you made up because you had not seen
anything. I didn't
make
them up. I didn't make them up.
All right. We'll be right back.
Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. What have you seen?
I have seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah?
Best movie of the summer.
Really?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
It was that good?
Yes.
Now, who's in that again? Monkeys?
Yeah, a lot of computer apes.
Yeah. Computer apes?
Yeah, they're all,
really?
All CG. Yeah.
It wasn't that guy.
And
who...
at first, huh?
Well,
Andy Serkis plays
Andy Serkis,
the,
right.
But it's, you
but
know.
It's, right. He does the motion capture for
it.
But it's all animated.
Right. And at first, like when it first starts, I'm like the first time you see one of them, I'm like, ugh, this isn't going to but be believable. But then
it is.
It is. Yeah.
That's cool. And can you see, is there an easy, in your head, can you see easily how you would get from there to what happened in the original Planet of the Apes storyline?
Yes.
So
yes,
they tied it.
But
in
I have to say, there are some moments in there where there's kind of like, in fact, I saw it in a pretty crowded theater where it's chuckle worthy.
Yeah,
because when
did people laugh
as the
apes
start to get intelligent,
yeah,
you know, they do things that like, it's like, okay, I understand that he's getting smarter, but like,
right, that's a little much.
That's a little much right there.
Yeah,
and then okay, I won't ruin it. But
yeah,
there's something
it.
At the very end that you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
please but
don't
it was
tell,
great.
Please. Well,
what?
I was going to say, please don't tell me the monkey talks, but then again, I was thinking to the other movies and they all talk, so that wouldn't even surprise me. So I'm sure that's what it was. Yeah. he's nodding his head.
But at the very end, all of a sudden he says a sentence and you're like,
yeah.
But I mean, he was really smart at that point.
Does he say, get your hands off me, you damn dirty human?
No, but someone else says.
Really?
Uses that line. And I have to say, that character that's in there, it's a guy that's kind of watching over the monkeys that have been like turned in.
Yeah.
Or apes, I should say.
Right.
And it was bugging me through the whole movie. I'm like, God, who is that guy? Who is that guy? And it was, what is it, Draco or Draco from Harry Potter? Draco Malfoy.
Oh, the blonde kid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Very interesting, but through the whole movie, I'm like, God, how do I know him? How do I know him?
That's pretty funny.
And I had to go home and look it up.
Did he still have goofy hair?
No. He just has
regular person hair.
But he's the one who said, because he kind of like tortures the apes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, don't give too much away, because I really am.
But he's the one who says that line. And there's other stuff from the first.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's really cool. That. Yeah. I love the movie. And there's parts of it that is like heartbreaking.
Yeah. Anytime you got Andy Serkis playing an animal, you know you're going to shed a few tears. I'm serious. You know what? King Kong, in it, from that point of view, uh-huh. I thought was brilliant. In a lot of ways, I thought that movie failed. But from that point of view, I thought it was really brilliant and really well done. And extremely effective. You know, the relationship between her and Kong was like surprisingly fantastic.
Right.
And heartbreaking, you know.
I will
say the
thing
that was heartbreaking about that movie was Jack Black's acting.
Yes.
It was so totally great.
There's so some cool bad. Stuff in that movie, though.
Yeah, definitely.
The one thing that I really love about this movie, this is the perfect, like, summer blockbuster action movie, in that it's not just so many of those summer movies now are just rehashing of other things. And this was, like, original.
That's cool.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff in this that, like, you know,
we haven't seen in
a long time.
Well, that's cool.
And it's pretty much, you know, stuff going on through the whole movie. There's no slow periods. And,
yeah.
It was good.
Now, who's the lead?
James Franco.
Okay, right.
It was good in it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I get...
John Lithgow plays his dad. He's great in it.
Sometimes I get James Franco... This is going to sound ridiculous, but sometimes I get James Franco and Cillian Murphy confused. Like, when I see one of them in a preview, I'm like, was that him or was it him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're not really that similar.
No. But, or even from the same country.
No. No. Yeah. But we, you know, we all share the same planet, so we're all brothers.
Yeah. And one day it will be Planet of the Apes.
Except for the girls. They're sisters, really. Splitting hairs at this point.
But anyway, loved it. And, you know, I really wasn't. I was expecting to be entertained by it, but I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did.
Yeah.
It's great.
Cool.
And obviously opens up to, you know.
Sequels galore.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Sequels and remakes.
For my classic film project this week, I saw the classic film, The Dirty Dozen.
All right. Now, I have not seen this movie.
Excellent movie.
How dirty are we talking?
Oh, filthy.
Filthy. Filthy dirty.
You can't scrub that off.
No amount of
Febreze. This movie is great. I will loan it to you. I own it on Blu-ray.
All right, cool.
And I have to say, what a great like transfer. The movie looks great.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
Cool. Western?
No.
No? It's not a Western? No. I thought it was a Western.
World War II. You know, I find that I like World War II as a setting.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you want me to tell you the basic premise?
No, I don't. I'd rather I'd rather just go into it blind. I prefer to do movies that way.
Great performances. Yeah. Charles Bronson, Telly Savalas, Lee Marvin.
Charlton Heston?
No.
No. Was he busy?
Donald Sutherland. Yeah. I think it was like his first movie, actually.
Yeah.
Looks really young in it. It was great. Great action movie. There was one part where, like, at the beginning it's very serious and the music's very serious, but every once in a while the music can be a little campy, and then there's a little, like, comedic scenes that like it kind of breaks up the tone a little, and you're like, well, wait, that was just really serious and intense, and all of a sudden there's this like kind of slapsticky thing going on, but then it'll go back into serious,
and then you hear the music like somebody,
the one slapsticky scene, it was playing I mean, keep in mind this movie was made, I want to say, late 50s early 60s,
right?
It was playing You're in the Army Now. It was like na 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 na. So it like it was a little odd.
And you were like, wait, when did I start watching Hogan's Heroes?
Exactly.
I know nothing.
but it, great movie.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, one it's I'll watch
it's
more
definitely,
than once.
You know, obviously considered to be a classic. You know?
And what's cool on the Blu-ray,
the upper echelon of classics.
It also has the sequel on it as well on the Blu-ray.
Ocean's 13.
Apparently it apparently the sequel didn't do so well. And it was made like at least 20 years later.
Oh, really? Kiefer Sutherland, Ali Sheedy, Demi Moore,
Mayor Winningham.
Mayor Winningham.
In the Ernest Borgnine role.
Exactly.
He's in it, by the way.
They're really interchangeable, those two. Unfortunately, for Ernest Borgnine.
So let's move to your movies, because I'm dying to hear about.
Okay, so I haven't been to the theater in a long time, but I have seen three movies. As I've been doing the exercising on the old treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, because, you know what? I got a pair of me tell you this little story. I asked you for advice on wireless headphones because...
And my advice was don't get wireless headphones.
Was don't get them. So I needed to get them, though, because it was the only way I was going to be able to watch anything, you know. Because the treadmill is far enough away from the TV that if I turn it up loud enough for me to hear it while I'm on the treadmill, it's so loud.
So why don't you just get an extended cord?
It's like 30 feet. I'm not going to drag
a
cord
30 feet. That long.
I know, but I don't want to run a cord all the way across. Anyway, so I go to Best Buy. I get these Sony wireless headphones, and they actually sound great. I have no complaints about the sound of them at all. What I do have a complaint about is that when I got them home and opened them, they had obviously been used and returned. There was practically no original packaging or anything.
You never take the front package.
I didn't actually take the front package, but apparently Best Buy is getting wise to this. But aren't they supposed to give me like a special open box price if it's an open box? So I was a little bummed about that. But yeah, they work great and they sound great.
And you don't have any disturbance?
No. Well, I mean, yeah. I got disturbances, but they got nothing to do with the headphones.
Okay.
But no,
I mean,
no,
I'm sure in your situation it works because you live in a single family home.
It's a clear shot right across the...
Yeah.
And I don't have any...
I live in a 78-unit building, so
yeah,
I'm going to get interference.
Yeah, but here's what's weird about that is I'm almost positive that they run on a frequency that most other stuff doesn't use.
There was other stuff using.
Yeah. Yeah, but they sound fine. So anyway.
Whatever that means.
So I don't know what that means.
There was other stuff I using.
So the first movie that I watched was Fair Game, which is the story
with Cindy Crawford and Billy Baldwin.
Not the one from the 80s. No. This is a movie about Valerie Plame, who was the CIA agent who was outed when her husband wrote a piece that was published in the New York Times about the government's investigation into WMDs after 9/11. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know anything about this story?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So there's this woman, she's a CIA agent, and her group in the CIA, she works for counterproliferation. And so her group was tasked with investigating stuff having to do with weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East. And some intel had come across their desk that Iraq had bought a bunch of aluminum tubes from somebody that were going to be used in making, you know, nuclear missiles or something like that.
Right.
Or nuclear weapons. And that they had also bought like 400 tons of some material from someone in Africa that was going to be used for weapons grade something something, right? So her husband was an ambassador to Niger in Africa at one point. And so they asked him to go over there and do a little digging around and see if he could find any trace of this transaction. And, you know, he came back. He's like, there's no way this transaction happened. He goes, you're talking about, you know, I forget how many semis it was, but, you know, lots and lots, dozens of semis that would have to be traveling across the country in Africa through all these little dinky towns that he says usually the biggest news is, you know, somebody falls down in town. If dozens of semis come through the town, people are going to remember it.
Right.
He could find no evidence whatsoever that this transaction took place. Then there was this other guy who said that these aluminum tubes were supposedly going to be used to make weapons grade, you know, plutonium for nuclear missiles, that they were probably going to be used for artillery shells and not for nuclear missiles. And his analysis concluded that they weren't going to be used for this. So anyway, and we all know what was going
on. Making a long story longer.
What we all know was going on in the White House at the time is that they were adamant that they were going to find these.
Right.
And so when we go to war and they start talking about how the reasons that they went to war were because of this transaction in Africa and finding these aluminum tubes, her husband decides that because he was sort of used in this, you know, thing, and he told them that the transaction never took place. So he writes an article that gets published in the New York Times called What I Didn't Find in Africa. And the White House is so pissed about that that they decide they're going to out his wife because she's a covert operative.
Right.
You know, nobody knows that she works for the CIA, like her contacts and everything. And meanwhile, she's got people in the Middle East, like talking to people who used to be on Iraq's nuclear missile team and everything and nuclear weapons team who are telling even their own families, they're like, there is no program anymore. It was destroyed 10 years ago, and they know that. You know, the Americans know that. So anyway, so he writes this article. They decide to out her, and her life becomes a living hell, and she's like fired from
the CIA. So
it was
no longer fair game at that point.
She was fair game. In terms of,
she was fair game.
So it was.
But as far as the game they're playing, it's not very fair.
It was not very fair at all, no. No, definitely not. But it was actually a pretty engaging movie. I mean, political views aside, it was a pretty engaging story and a pretty good movie, I have to say. You know, it's got the Naomi Watts, who I always like.
You know what? Not a fan.
Yeah.
I try to be a fan. I'm not a fan. Ever.
I like her a lot.
Ever.
I had the Sean Penn, who I usually don't like.
Oh, I like Sean Penn.
It's just, you know, he's such a jerk in real life. That's why it's hard for me to watch him.
Do we know that?
We do know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We pretty much know that.
I mean, he's intense. I don't know that he's, well, all right.
You know, ever since after
Madonna,
Fast Times, it all went downhill from there in terms of personality. So that was the first movie. Then I saw this movie called Gene Generation. Possibly.
No, this is G-E-N-E.
G-E-N-E.
Right? Not like this is not a documentary on denim.
Gene as in DNA. Right.
Yes.
It's set in the future when a company has figured out, a company run by
Starbucks.
No. Company run by Faye Dunaway has invented a way to modify your DNA to cure anything that's wrong with you pretty much instantly. Except it goes haywire and it turns her into a tentacled monster who's hanging from the ceiling by chains.
Wait a minute. You watched a movie that stars Bai Ling.
Yes.
Okay. You should have known what you were getting yourself into.
Yeah, and when I told Amy that I watched it, she goes, Bai Ling, she's on that TV show, something about some rehab TV show
Celebrity
or whatever.
Rehab.
Yeah. And she said, oh man, she's a complete whack job.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, so then I don't know. So what happens, then there are these like gene hackers who fire DNA-specific weapons at people and kill people with DNA guns and stuff like that. And she is trying to save her brother who's gotten mixed up with a bad crowd. And it was just all sorts of dumb. It was terrible. It was really terrible.
What do you think its rating is on IMDb?
What's the scale?
10.
Out of 10? I'm going to guess 2.4.
Reverse that.
4.2?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad. It was not a good movie. And then the last movie I saw, remember I told you I started watching this before and I finished watching it, is War Games, The Dead Code.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, it was so bad. It was so bad. You know how the first movie was great? The first War Games?
I never loved that movie.
Oh, it was a great movie.
No, it's not.
It's a great movie. This movie was so contrived and so bad. So get this. Okay. What?
No, you're funny. Go ahead.
Okay, so get this. Here's the premise. The government has launched an online gaming site called Ripley with a character that looks like Lara Croft, except designed 10 years before Lara Croft was designed. So, like, if you designed a game, you know, around the time that the ColecoVision was a big deal and made Lara Croft a character then, that's what it looked like. Her animation consisted of two frames, facing left and facing right. And she would say, come play with me, baby. Come play with me, baby. And supposedly, that level of graphics and audio, you know, wizardry was enough to attract the world's biggest spenders into playing online games for money on this site, which the computer would then say, well, if you can get past level 5 of our game, you're probably a terrorist, so we're going to fire weapons at you. Okay, so you can just imagine what happens when this kid and his friend decide to go on this website, and the kid, of course, is a super gamer and a genius at everything he does. So he gets past level 5, no problem. And then they think he's a terrorist. So now the computer system is going to bomb Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., right? Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay, now let me explain something to all you filmmakers out there who think at some point that you're going to make a movie that has any type of plot point that revolves around a computer or any sort of technology. I just want you to pay very close attention to what I'm going to say. If you pull the power plug on a computer, it cannot do anything. I don't care how smart the computer is. I don't care what else you got it hooked up to. If it doesn't have any power, it can't do anything. It can't get power through CCTV cameras at traffic lights. It can't get power through an ATM. You know why? Because it's not hooked up to the power anymore. So it can't do anything. I'm so sick of movies pulling the plug on computers only to have them keep working. It is the biggest dumbass movie.
But yet Electric Dreams is a classic too.
That movie is so good. So good.
What do you think this got on IMDb as a rating out of 10?
Probably about the same.
Yeah, 4.4.
Yeah.
And what do you think Fair Game got?
I'm going to guess 6.8.
Ooh, very close. 6.9.
Wow. Wow.
And Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I'm going to guess 8.2.
8.0. And we're just going to compare the...
Yeah. See how on the pulse I am with movies. Because, you know, a lot of times you criticize me for, you know, why you're doing an entertainment podcast. I just want people to know. I still know what's
and
going on.
And the Dirty Dozen?
The Dirty Dozen. Oh, I'm going to guess 9.1.
7.8.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, people. There's no accounting for taste anymore.
Yeah, so that's what we got in movies, huh?
So that's what... Yeah. Do not watch that film. It was so bad. And then they even brought in Professor Falcon, who I really liked his character in the original movie. They had some doofy actor playing him this time, and it was just so stupid. So you know how the big joke about the first movie was, hey, try Joshua, you know, which was the name of his son who died, right? So you know what it was this time? Try Max, because that was Joshua's favorite teddy bear.
Ah.
Come on, people. Really?
And you can't use a three-character password
that's somebody's name, a common name, and the, like the most genius computer guy in the entire world who built even this new computer. That was his password. That was a secret backdoor password. A three-letter person's name, Max. Nobody's getting in there. I'm sure the government's completely safe from hackers. I mean, it was so stupid. It was so stupid. It was just so stupid. Ugh. Terrible movie.
Ready for miscellaneous?
Yes, please.
First, let's discuss. I made you watch the trailer for In Time, which is a new sci-fi movie coming out with Justin Timberlake.
Yep.
I think it looks really cool.
I think it looks like it could be really cool, or it could be incredibly irritating.
I think you are very negative.
No. Here's why. Because first of all, it stars Justin Timberlake. So
what's the problem?
Well, because you're obviously gearing your movie towards a certain crowd when you cast Justin Timberlake as the star of an action movie.
I think Justin Timberlake is the everybody's person.
Which everybody's on which planet?
Everybody.
Really?
Yeah. No one doesn't like Justin
I could name at least a dozen people who don't even know who that is.
Yeah, but you're going to name your mom.
Yeah.
No, your mom knows who he is.
No, my mom doesn't know who he is.
Let's call her while we're on. No, I'm kidding.
You want me to? I can call her. Hold on. I can just call my
mom. Oh, folks, you may want to fast forward just like 2 minutes.
No, I'm just saying, just call my mom really quick. Hold on. Let's see if I can reach her.
Let's put a while you're dialing, let's put a little wager on this. I guarantee your mom will know who Justin Timberlake is.
Hold on. Let's see.
Well, don't put her on the air.
Why not?
She doesn't know. That's against the law.
No, I'm going to tell her. Don't worry. It's going to be fine.
Hope she doesn't drop an F-bomb.
Yeah, that would be bad.
As she's most akin to doing.
I don't think so.
I'm kidding.
She may not even be there. And I'm calling herself.
She's probably at Friends with Benefits.
No.
She's probably seeing the new Justin Timberlake movie with Mila Kunis.
She could be.
She's like, I see all his movies. What'd you call for?
I can't talk right now. I'm having lunch with JT.
She's playing sexy back in the background.
So anyway, it also has that look to it like, did you ever see Limitless? Did you ever go see that?
No. I heard it was good, though.
I enjoyed that movie, but there's an edginess to movies that sometimes these filmmakers do.
It's forced.
That's very forced, yeah. And I find extremely irritating. I don't like edginess for the sake of edginess. I don't like shock for the sake of shock. I get super annoyed with all of that kind of stuff. And this movie looks like it could definitely go in that direction. It's really stylized. I mean, they're driving around in like 1960s Lincolns, but it's supposed to be in the future. Right. James Franco is in it.
He's not.
I'm sorry, Cillian Murphy. Yeah. I did that on purpose, so you know. I don't know.
I believe he pronounces his name Killian.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. You know, like
he can do whatever he wants. It's his name.
Is it even worth looking at?
I don't know. But it just looks like it might annoy the crap out of me. I'll probably still go see it or see it on video.
No, I understand what
you're
saying. Because remember when we saw the preview for that, what was that movie with Bruce Willis? Surrogates?
Oh, yeah, it looked great. And then it was terrible. It was awful. That was a terrible
Bantha
movie.
Poodoo.
It was Bantha Poodoo.
It was the callback.
Bringing it all around.
There's the callback.
Full circle, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, I also showed you the picture of the new Superman.
Yeah, you didn't show me...
No, because we're talking about that later.
Sorry.
You don't listen to me when I speak.
I do, but... It's written right here.
I know, but disregard that.
Okay. Well, I didn't say anything.
What'd you think of the new Superman?
I don't know. It's a little blurry picture. But his suit looked purple to me. And his hair looked like he just walked off the set of Grease. Does this take place in the 50s?
No.
It doesn't take place in the
50s. I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
You know, they just did all their... they're just doing all their shooting in Chicago right now, right? The last 3 or 4 days? Huh. Have you heard anything about it? So... Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh.
Interesting. So they didn't make a big spectacle like shooting, you know, Batman or Transformers here?
No.
Huh. Interesting.
Not so far.
Interesting.
Ready to move on?
Yeah.
My least favorite.
That's why I'm not talking.
My least favorite dance film from the 80s, Dirty Dancing, is getting the remake treatment. The man.
Okay, wait. What was your favorite dance film from the
80s? I have to say, it's...
Footloose?
No, Flashdance.
Okay.
You know, here's the reason why.
What about Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo?
No, that's not it. Although, I don't mind some of those Breakin' movies. I mean, like Beat Street and Breakin'.
Right.
Those weren't bad.
They were all right.
I mean, for the time. I don't know that I enjoy them now. Which reminds me, I happened to stumble across
Didn't
Step Up.
Did you feel like it made you feel a little bit more connected to the hood?
No.
Okay.
Which reminds me, the other day I stumbled upon Step Up 3, which was Step Up 3D, but, you know.
Right.
Without at my home, it was not.
Right.
And, no. Made me feel old.
I don't think you needed to say anything
about
that.
It made me feel old. It made me feel smart. It's not good.
But, well, that's good.
No, Flashdance. I'll tell you why Flashdance is my favorite. First of all, it's very
gritty. You know, I've never seen that movie.
You should. It's Adrian Lyne. So it's got his whole...
Yeah, what else has he done?
9.5 weeks.
Never seen that.
A bunch of stuff.
I wonder if I've never seen an Adrian Lyne film. Is it possible?
Unforgiven. Did you ever see that?
Yes. It was a good movie. Got your Clint Eastwood, got your what's his name? Bad guy. What was his name?
Oh, no, not Unforgiven. No, what's that called? Unforgivable.
No, I don't even know what that is.
The one with Richard Gere and
Never.
Unfaithful. That's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Fatal Attraction. He did that.
Oh, I didn't like Unfaithful.
Ladder.
I thought Unfaithful was a bad movie.
I liked Unfaithful.
I never saw Jacob's Ladder. You know why I never saw Jacob's Ladder? Because you told me that it freaked you out so much.
I did not like it.
Yeah.
But Adrian Lyne, he's very stylized. Everything's very dark and gritty. And like that's what I liked about Flashdance. It's a dance movie.
He really did Fatal Attraction?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like it fits into the rest of those films, from what I know of them.
It certainly fits in with Indecent Proposal and Unfaithful.
I never saw Indecent Proposal either.
Anyway,
it just seemed like a terrible idea.
You know you're being a very bad host,
right? I'm
sorry. his films are very dark and gritty, and Flashdance took place in Pittsburgh, so it had the whole grit of that.
Right.
And it was very... it's the first time I ever saw it. Breakdancing was actually in Flashdance.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like street breakdancing.
Right.
And I liked it.
Was it just getting in the way of the camera crew or
no,
just happened to be there?
She's just walking by and there's kids dancing in the street. And
she didn't do any breakdancing?
She did. Then she gets in. And, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Head spin?
She does do like a back spin in her little...
tongue spin?
At the end. No, I don't know what you're talking about now. I think this is taking an ugly turn. Anyway. We got way off track there. Flashdance would be my favorite dance.
I probably
movie.
Shouldn't admit this, but we used to joke around with my cousin when we were kids, and breakdancing was a big deal, that there was going to be a neighborhood, this was in New York, that there was going to be a neighborhood breakdancing contest, and that we wanted him to compete for our team, and that he had to master the tongue spin. We didn't even have any idea of what that was. We just told him that, and we wanted to see if he would get on the ground and put his tongue on the dirt and start spinning around, but
and
he did.
I know which cousin that is. So let me start over here because we got completely off track. My least favorite dance film from the 80s, Dirty Dancing, is getting the remake treatment. The man behind Michael Jackson's This Is It, Kenny Ortega, will direct. So apparently it will use a lot.
You know we already talked about this.
We did not.
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Yeah, we had a whole conversation about it.
This just made the news.
We had a whole conversation about it.
No, we didn't about Dirty Dancing.
Footloose, we did. Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Really? They're remaking Dirty Dancing?
Dirty Dancing, yeah.
You can't do that.
And I think it's still set in that time. I mean, it would have to be.
You just can't do that.
Why would you do that? I didn't like the first one.
It was pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
Pretty terrible. You know, Jenny got knocked up.
What the heck was that?
That was one of the lines from the movie. Oh. Of course, everyone knows the line from the movie.
Yeah.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Right.
Or, you know, he's dead now. Patrick Swayze.
Or she's like the wind through my trees. Sony has already confirmed. Well, you know what? Let me jump to the... I have a Footloose nugget here. The voice judge, Blake Shelton, has recorded a version of Kenny Loggins' Footloose for the upcoming remake. The soundtrack will also include updated remakes of Let's Hear It for the Boy, Holding Out for a Hero, and Almost Paradise.
Terrible. Not only are you remaking, but you can't even come up with good music of your own?
Exactly!
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Pathetic. It's pathetic.
It's all the same. It's all the same. Bless you.
I had to get rid of the demons that are this remake. Purge the demons.
You know, just to show how old we are.
This movie costs what? They made what?
Just to show how old we are, when I went to prom, my senior... Well, actually, it wasn't my senior
prom.
When
you were on the CW.
Someone else's senior prom. Yes, yeah. It all comes back to prom. See how I'm fixated on the prom?
You really are.
Our prom theme was Almost Paradise from Footloose.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And by the way, it was not anywhere near paradise. Yeah, let's leave it at that. Sony has already confirmed that there will be a Smurfs sequel.
Shocking.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
Hop and Alvin and the Chipmunks director Tim Hill will direct a remake.
You know, it's kind of sad that my prom theme was Stairway to Heaven.
You are being a horrible host right now.
Stairway to Heaven. What does that even mean as far as prom goes?
What?
It's like, what, you're all going to die tonight? What? The worst prom theme ever.
And then it went from Stairway to Heaven.
I lobbied for Knights in White Satin, but nobody listened to me.
Highway to Hell.
Exactly.
Hop and Alvin and the Chipmunks director Tim Hill will direct a remake of 1986's Short Circuit.
I'm glad you led with Hop instead of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Well, Hop is more recent.
Yeah.
He is also in talks to direct the film.
Wait, what's he doing a remake of?
Short Circuit.
You know, I really like that movie.
I know you did.
It's not a good movie, but I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
He is also in talks to direct the film Walter the Farting Dog.
Come on. Farting's in the title?
Yes.
Come on.
And he is a dog.
Well, I got that from the title as well. That's terrible. Why would you redo Short Circuit? You don't need to redo that. They already did that. It was called Wally.
Right. Well, Fisher Stevens needs something to do.
You know, he was one of the best parts of that
movie.
But
you know, they could never do that now.
No.
No.
No, you can't have a white dude playing an Indian dude.
With that accent.
With that accent.
Although
so then my family comes over. Wouldn't you know they got two flat tires? Oh, two flat tires. That's bad. Actual line from the movie, ladies and gentlemen.
This is interesting. John Travolta and Chuck Norris are the latest to join the cast of The Expendables 2.
Why are they making a sequel to that movie? I heard it was terrible.
But listen to all the other people on board. Mickey Rourke, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jet Li, Jason Statham, Bruce Willis, and Sylvester Stallone.
Weren't they also in the original?
I don't think Bruce Willis was. Mickey Rourke wasn't, was he?
I think they all were.
Oh, maybe.
I thought they all were. But I heard that movie was terrible.
How weird, John Travolta.
Hear that movie was terrible?
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction. That's the only reason he's in there.
Or like Broken Arrow. Remember Broken Arrow? I didn't hate Broken Arrow.
No, it was all right.
And, you know, we go back and forth about Face Off. I liked Face Off.
I thought it was terrible. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I actually really enjoyed it.
What about Battlefield Earth?
Never saw
it. Really? You never saw that?
I would never see that.
Really? I'm surprised.
Why?
Because it was sci-fi before anyone knew that it was terrible. I mean, before
it came out, they said it was terrible. It's voted like one of the worst movies of all time. Did you like it?
No, it was terrible.
Well, there you go.
But I'm surprised you didn't go see it to just see for yourself.
No, I listen to the critics more than you do. Yeah. I mean, that's true.
I don't care what critics think. Because a lot of
times apparent,
they go,
that's apparent by the movies that
no,
you
No, a lot of times they go nuts.
That's apparent by Gene Generation and War Games, the Dead
Code.
Oh,
they were so bad. So bad.
So bad. Rumor has it the next Die Hard film will find John McClane in Russia.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Doesn't that sound like it made it up?
It does. Are you getting your news from The Onion now?
No, that's true.
Wow.
And this is equally as weird. Cameron Crowe has revealed that he is considering a Say Anything sequel.
Why? Why? Why?
Remake is one thing, but sequel? How can you make a sequel to that?
What is he, like, Say Anything too? Getting Dad out of jail.
Oh, yeah, maybe it revolves around Dad finally getting out of jail.
Yeah. He gets out of jail, and they just, like, have another dinner together. And that's the whole movie.
Here's someone with lofty dreams. Jason Momoa, star of the upcoming Conan film, has written a sequel to the film and submitted it to the studio for consideration.
You know, I can't really say anything bad about Jason Momoa. I like the man.
But isn't that funny? He's starring as Conan, and, like, in his spare time, he's like, you know what? I'm going to write the sequel to my movie.
Yeah. Hey, why not? You know what? Keep the wheels moving.
That's funny.
Keep the wheels moving.
Director Robert Rodriguez has announced that there will be a Sin City 2. Did you like Sin City?
No.
I loved Sin City. Why didn't you like it?
I just thought it was stupid.
What?
I didn't like it. I thought it was stupid.
I don't understand why you wouldn't like that.
Because I just finished explaining that I don't like shock for the sake of shock. I don't like...
Did you think that's what that was?
I thought almost the entire movie was shock for the sake of shock. I thought it was a terrible film.
Well, that's the genre it is. I mean, that's
But I don't like that genre.
You don't know what's good.
And I didn't care about anyone in there. There was one... It was a... Am I thinking of the right movie? Is that the one with, like, the four different storylines?
To say the least. Yeah. I think there may be
Bruce
more
Bruce Willis?
Four. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mickey
I think
Rourke.
I think I liked... It was either Mickey Rourke's character or Bruce Willis's character. I liked one of them.
Yeah.
But everyone else, I'm like, I don't care about any of these people or any of the stupid stuff.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Finally, a studio has backed out of bringing another board game to the big screen. Universal Pictures has decided not to remake a film version of Clue.
Thank goodness.
But the people behind it are still trying to get another studio to pick it up.
Right.
Why?
I don't know.
What about the fact
okay,
that...
Okay, if you don't like Clue, how about Ants in the Pants? How about Don't Break the Ice? How about Don't Tip the Waiter?
Why are you doing Jackie Mason?
I don't know. He hasn't done a lot of work lately. Come on, let me do Ants in the Pants. I got him already. I don't even have to act.
That's funny.
All right, that's all we got for movies?
That's all we have.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick
break. That's a lot. What do you mean that's all we got?
I know. I'm just making sure there's not more. I don't want people to miss out on anything. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about everything else.
That's like a mix of Jackie Mason and Yogi Bear. That's like Jackie Mason doing Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear is totally different.
Okay, boo-boo, when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. That sounded exactly the same.
It was totally different.
Except with a little like...
Chime in, listeners. Totally different.
Well, I mean, you put a little like New Yorkish accent on it, but which Yogi Bear doesn't have. Yogi Bear sounds exactly like this, boo-boo baby. He doesn't say bear.
Huh?
He says bear.
Smarter than the average bear. He says it like that.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I gotta look for some Yogi.
Yeah, look for some Yogi. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, we're back and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh moosh.
First, the good news. There is finally, going to be a super cool Star Trek theme park.
Have we been asking for that?
Yes.
No.
The bad news, you'll have to travel to Aqaba, Jordan to go. King Abdullah of Jordan is shelling out $1.5 billion, or approximately the cost of three tankfuls of premium gas in the Chicago area, to build a 184-acre Star Trek theme park, including 17 entertainment areas and four hotels.
So is he just a huge Star Trek fan, and so he's like, I'm building myself a Star Trek amusement park?
I don't know.
That has to be.
He didn't even bring it up last time I talked to him. So I don't know.
You have not talked to him.
I have never spoken to him. Yeah, I got some friends from Jordan. See if they know anything about him. But I would assume so. I would assume so because, you know, why else would this be going on right now?
So, with all that's going on in the world, really.
Right, exactly. And how many people are really going to be able to go? Pretty much just people who live there.
Right.
Seagate's new GoFlex Turbo portable hard drive has USB 3, support for FireWire and eSATA, and Seagate's SafetyNet data recovery service. Now, this is actually pretty cool.
Is it really?
If your drive fails within the first 2 years, Seagate will recover your data once for free. That's really cool. Start at $120.
It's not all that cool.
It's pretty cool if you use your computer for business and you can't afford to lose your data. Apple has blocked the sale of Samsung's Galaxy Tab 10.1 in EU countries, except for the Netherlands, based on Apple's claim that the Galaxy Tab is too similar to the iPad.
How can they do that?
I don't know. They made a claim or a case for their patent claims, and the EU upheld it, which is crazy. Thanks to the Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, launched in December of 2009, we've just discovered that a 1,000-foot-wide asteroid is in Earth's orbit with us. At Lagrange Point L4. Don't be too scared, though, because it's actually in our orbit, orbiting with us, so it's not likely we will ever interact with it because we're going around at the same
time. How have we not noticed that?
Well, A, it's super far away, and B, we didn't have anything that could see there up until now. And, you know, 1,000 feet is big, but
it's not the
distance that it is, it's not that big.
Right.
Boeing's 78. This is kind of neat.
Could it be considered a moon?
No. Did you take any science classes?
Well, why can't it be a moon if it's in orbit with us?
Because it's in our orbit.
Oh, so it doesn't
orbit
around
us.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yes. Boeing's 787 Dreamliner is going to use electronically...
So it just kind of stays there.
No. It's in orbit.
But with us.
It's basically, think of two race cars on the same track. One of them, you know, half a mile ahead of the other, but they're both going the same speed.
Ah.
And in the middle of the track is the sun.
I get it now.
Yeah. Okay, so Boeing's 787 Dreamliner.
So why wouldn't it be a planet? Like a little planet.
Because it's just not. There's different definitions for what makes a planet, and a moon, and a star, and an asteroid.
What
asteroid.
Are those definitions?
Do you really want to go over this right now?
No, I don't.
It's a rock with no atmosphere and nothing going on.
Ah.
Boeing's 787 Dreamliner is going to use electronically dimming windows instead of shades. That's kind of cool. I want those in my house. Wouldn't that be cool to have
you
electronically?
You really couldn't find a lot of stuff, huh?
No. Are you kidding? Have you seen the next two pages?
Well, I see their stuff.
It's just all stuff like that. In other air travel news, London's Heathrow Airport now has driverless cars that carry people between the terminals and parking lots. Boy, those poor people in London. Seen all of what's going on right now?
Yeah.
Riots galore. The fire department has responded to something like 2,200 fires in the last 4 days.
Wow.
That's a lot of fires. They're like destroying things. And people are coming in from out of town to cause trouble. It's like not even people from those neighborhoods. It's like people are traveling and they're like, oh, you want to go into London and join the riots?
Sure.
Sounds good. Let's get a point of lager first.
Hello.
Hello, Goofnut. Gonna set your place on fire now. Cheerio. A company called Vision Research has a series of high-speed video cameras, including the Phantom V1610, that can shoot at 1,000,000 frames per second.
That's a lot.
1,000,000 frames per second. Just so you know, the normal FPS of a video camera is either 60, 30, or 24. So this is 1,000,000. That's a lot. And just in case you've never dealt with a high-speed camera or know what they're used for, the higher the speed of a camera, the slower the video is when you play it back. So this is for, like, when you see those movies
right.
of a bullet,
like a
going,
bullet
through,
going
an
through an apple.
Yeah, that's what they use these for. And I'm assuming lots of other more important things since everyone's already seen that video.
Like Mr. Miyagi catching the fly with the chopsticks.
I would pay to see that
yeah.
at 1,000,000 frames per second.
Yo, pretty okie dokie tookie.
JCPenney, 398. According to NASA, there could be liquid water on the surface of Mars right now.
Ah.
They think they may have spotted some flowing liquid water. That's pretty wild.
Are they sure it's not some 1,000-foot rock in its orbit?
They're pretty sure. Right. I think most NASA scientists are up to speed on the difference between a rock and water. That's one of the first things you learn.
They don't have a lot of stuff to do now, do they?
No, not really. Nokia has finally given up the Symbian Ghost in the U.S. Future Nokia phones here in the States will only have Windows Phone 7 on them. That's a pretty big deal for them.
Yeah. Well, it's a very small deal for the rest of the world.
Does anyone even buy a Nokia phone anymore? We're going to talk more about Nokia.
It's a slow news day.
We're going to talk more about Nokia in a minute.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. A couple of scientists have invented a sensor that can be used in the manufacturing of straws to detect if date rape drugs are in your drink. Just dip the straw in your drink, and if the straw starts to light up, don't drink that Appletini because you're screwed.
First of all, you shouldn't be drinking Appletini with a straw.
I'm just saying. Now the only problem is trying to remember if the straw lighting up is what you want or what you don't want when you're out and drinking and getting drunk, because who's going to really remember that? A new Wi-Fi standard called 802.22 has a range of 62 miles.
It's very far.
62 miles. Yes, you heard that right. That means a single base station can cover 12,000 square miles altogether. If you just got all excited about the prospect of your cell phone pretty much always having a Wi-Fi signal, then congratulations, you were paying attention.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't...
Exactly.
What?
This is what I go through every time, people. Scientists have just discovered that two of the building blocks of our DNA definitely came from outer space, brought here by meteorites. What this means is that A, we're part alien, and B, the prospect of life similar to our own on other planets is now much greater than it was before this discovery. That is so cool. That is news that's cool and big enough to outweigh the fact that those damn Japanese scientists said that they've proven that time travel is impossible. I'm so mad at them for that.
Ah.
Finally, and here we go talking about Nokia again. Nokia was called out for using a stock photo of an attractive woman on a cell phone in an ad. The phone she's using? An iPhone. Oops. That's all we got for the mashup, which now brings us to our votes.
I have to prepare.
Our votes, as always, for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Please, Tony, please, please, would you give us your worst?
Okay. Have you seen the pictures that have surfaced of Anne Hathaway as Catwoman?
I have not.
Very disappointing.
Really?
Oh, my God. There's it's.
She looked like Ruth Buzzy?
No, there's no costume. She's just wearing like a black, like, skin tight suit and sunglasses.
Well, it's more cost effective, don't you think?
And, like, little ears on the sunglasses here.
Let me see.
It's terrible. I mean, that's what I love about Christopher Nolan. Like, the way he made Joker look is really cool, and the pictures I'm seeing of Bane look cool. And
but if you think about, okay, just think about this.
Grant, based in reality,
No, that's not what I was going to say. Think about how the Joker looked in Christopher Nolan's movie compared to how the Joker looked previously, and it, too, was understated compared to previous versions.
Sure.
It wasn't like he was dressing up like a clown, like a full-on clown with clown shoes
right.
and an umbrella and stuff like that, you know? It was just that he
but
was messed up.
But this is just lazy.
Was...
This is just a black skin-tight suit and sunglasses.
I don't know. I think it kind of... fits in with...
I think you just like to disagree.
Well, you know what? I'll agree with you on the headgear. You would think she would have, like, a cat head or something. You know what I mean? The outfit I could understand, because even if you think about Superman stuff, it was all stuff that he sort of had access to through other stuff that was
right.
going on in his company. But
but even, like, the Catwoman suit that Michelle Pfeiffer wore that she made, you know, out of the old raincoat. Like,
yeah, but did anyone check to see if she really was that good of a seamstress?
Well, she wasn't. Did you see all the terrible seams?
So there you go.
I don't know. I just thought it would be a little more exciting than that.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, again, you know, Bruce Wayne, he's got all that money burning a hole in his pocket. He can send off to have stuff manufactured in China.
Well, sure.
Bits
well,
and
he's
pieces,
got Lucius Fox
parts.
For that. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And what's his name? Alfred, you know, who helped
yeah.
him with
well, he,
setting up the fronts and all that
I
kind of stuff.
I think he just helps with the laundry and the
oh, really just
scones.
Making the scones.
And the scones.
The scones. The scones.
Hello.
So, you know, I don't hello, Governor. Hello, Master Wayne. Could I get you another scone today before we go out and fight some crime? Would you like a biscuit for your tea?
To our listeners in England.
We're so sorry. They're busy. They're not even paying attention right now. They got bigger fish to fry. But I don't know her character's backstory. Does she have money? She doesn't have money. She's going to have to settle for a pair of stupid sunglasses.
What's she doing on that bike?
Well, she could have stolen that. I don't know. Is she a hood? Is she a hoodlum? Isn't she someone's daughter? Isn't she like Commissioner Gordon's daughter or something?
That's Batgirl.
Oh. Which one is this?
Catwoman.
Oh, yeah. What's her story? She's just nuts?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I'd believe that. She looks crazy. You'd have to be crazy to ride that thing. That thing's a monster.
Yeah.
Monster. My worst entertainment moment is definitely Gene Generation. Ugh, so bad.
So worse than War Games. I don't
yeah,
know, War Games.
Yeah,
sound,
yeah, yeah.
Well, Bai Ling. Okay.
Yeah, Bai Ling. She's nuts.
Enough said. Enough said with the Bai Ling.
Although, do you think it's coincidental that Bai Ling is, in fact, bilingual?
Ah.
Weird,
well,
huh?
You kind of have to be, don't you?
I'm confused.
Well, your name is Bai Ling, so you...
Oh, yeah, yeah, it goes with the term.
You're going to have that name.
Right. You better work on your language
right.
skills.
She's like, think how my name's not Try.
Yeah, you know, she was naked in that movie.
I believe she's naked in just about every movie.
Oh, really?
Except
I don't know.
She was a Bond girl, I want to say.
She was?
I think so.
What?
I believe so.
Was that License to Kill?
No, not that long ago.
Really?
Yeah. It was with Pierce Brosnan, I want to say.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean License to Kill. I meant, what was the one with
you know, I'm not
Jonathan?
Saying it, no, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I thought that was Maggie Q. Wasn't Bai Ling in one of those, like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon kind of movies?
She was in Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. That's weird.
She was?
She played Senator Bana Brimu.
The voice acting... never mind. I was going to say something I'm not allowed to say.
She was in The Crow.
I know she's in...
I thought she was in a Bond film. I could be wrong.
What about Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? Was she in that?
No.
She wasn't in that?
That's racist.
What does that even mean? Isn't she Chinese? It's a Chinese movie. How is that racist?
She's from Chengdu.
You're probably pronouncing that wrong. We'll forgive you.
She was in the movie Dumplings, though.
She was really?
In Sky Captain.
I saw her dumplings in Gene Generation several times.
I guess I was wrong about
Oh, she was in Sky Captain? That movie was awful.
Yeah, that was bad.
Man, you talk about some bad decisions that Angelica Jolika has made. That was one of them.
Was she in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. Not a good movie at all.
She was also in Crank High Voltage.
Was it the sequel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it? She's only in three movies?
Well, no, there's a lot more, but I don't know any of them.
I'm almost positive she was in one of those like Chinese martial arts movies that I saw within the last few years.
Dim Sum Funeral?
Nope.
Because she's in that.
It was actually an interesting movie.
Nomad the Warrior?
No, that wasn't it. More recent, like the last 3 years. Something between 2008 and now.
Circle of Pain?
No.
Love Ranch?
No.
Toxic?
No.
Magic
something,
Man?
Something like The Chosen One, something like that. I thought she was in that, but I don't know.
Shanghai Baby?
No. What's she famous for?
The Crow.
Really?
Oh, Anna and the King she was in.
No. That's not what I'm thinking of.
Three Extremes?
Nope.
That's all I got.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. Okay. Are we moving on?
Yeah, yeah. What's your best?
Well, usually you set me up with that. I will definitely go with Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
just unexpected that I would like it as much as I did, and I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, cool.
And just great. I mean, yeah, there's a couple moments in there where you're like, oh, come on. But yeah. I'm willing to forgive that. Cause, yeah. And like I said, there's a couple heartbreaking moments in it as well. Not just with like the ape, but with between James Franco and his father, played by John Lithgow.
Yeah. Cool. I'm going to go with the season 3 finale of Smallville.
Really
good cliffhanger. Yeah. Really good cliffhanger. Because you think like...
You think
like half the cast is dead. Or most of the cast is dead.
Yeah.
When the season ended. I can't even imagine watching shows like that when they're live on TV. That would drive me insane. I don't like those kind of cliffhangers. Well, like Fringe. Fringe ended the last season with Peter disappearing. Like disappeared. Like phased out. And then everyone forgot that he ever existed.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
One of the main characters fizzles out of existence in the middle of a sentence, no less. You don't think that's annoying for the viewers? But anyway, followed as a very close second by the little time that I spent playing Star Wars: The Old Republic. Are you going to play it when it comes out?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, because it'd be fun.
Is it going to be one of those you got to pay monthly?
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't like the monthly pay.
I'm sure. How many services do you pay for monthly right now?
A few. But I get a lot more out of them than I would out of that game.
You don't know. You haven't played it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't ever play games more than like...
Mm-hmm. Chewbacca? Mm-hmm. Remember that from the stupid Star Wars movie? Did you remember that at the end of the last movie when Yoda is like saying goodbye to the Wookiees and, you know, Yoda completely panders to the audience. He's like, goodbye, Glondork. Goodbye, Chewbacca. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it for the big guy. Mm-hmm. Oh... You don't remember that?
Oh, no.
It's terrible. It's such a stupid moment. All right, cool. Well, I think that's all we got. Don't forget to visit us on Facebook. Go to iTunes where you can leave us a review and a rating. And, of course, you can always listen right at pause.com, which we appreciate as well. And do send us the mail. Keep the calls and letters coming. Like to hear from
you. Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. And let us know about our language skills if you get around to it. And
Or if you're offended by any of our accents.
Yeah, please ask us to stop. We don't want you to go away. So that's pretty much it. Thanks as always for listening. We'll see you next time.
Cheerio!
I don't even know what to say to that. All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye.